On January 9th, 2005, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are expected to participate in elections which will select a new Palestinian president. The elections, organized to respond to the passing of former Palestinian president and one of the founders of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, Yasser Arafat, these elections are being viewed with scrutiny around the world as potentially having a significant impact on the future of the Palestinian struggle for independence. I had the opportunity to speak with George N. Rishmawi from the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC, who shared his perspectives on the upcoming Palestinian elections. The interview provides analysis on grassroots Palestinian democratic movements struggling against Israeli occupation, while also providing specifics on the various presidential candidates and political parties participating in the upcoming elections.
The upcoming elections slated for January 9th of this year are seen by many Palestinians as a way to prove that Palestinians are able to carry on a democratic process. However, there are lots of difficulties facing this process. Basically, the current situation where Palestinians are under a very strong and tight siege and closure, which limits the movement of the candidate, and despite the different promises that Israel gave to ease the situation for the elections, however, this is not proven true so far. The problem facing the elections on the Palestinian side is a major one in terms of what to expect from the different candidates. Many of the candidates talk about change, progress, ending the occupation, and reforms. And reforms is an important element in most of the candidate program. However, most of the people see Abbas as a continuity to the old way of ruling. Like, many people see him as, let's say, following the steps of Arafat. At the same time, they think the majority, let's say, like 65% in the last poll, because they maybe believe that he is the only one capable of calming the situation and maybe easing the current situation that Palestinians are living in, simply because Israel and the United States recommend Abbas. So many people are worried that if another Palestinian is elected, that Israel and the U.S. will not cooperate with him in the same way they will cooperate with Abbas. And this is actually, in my opinion, a false impression that because America and Israel wants him to be president, then they will ease the situation with him and will make things easier for the Palestinians. And this is actually limiting the chances for more democratic candidates like Mustafa Barghouti or Bassam Salhi or the other one, Taysir Khalid. At least those three that I know of are from the democratic stream and left-wing candidates. The other three, I'm not aware of. They are not very much, let's say, prominent or famous like the other three I mentioned earlier. So this is the challenge that is facing the Palestinians now, and Mustafa Barghouti comes second in most of the polls that have been conducted so far.
Now, I guess the main question, which is on a lot of people's minds, is how can a democracy function under occupation?
since 1967, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip are under Israeli military rule. There's this impression that is being projected, especially through the media here in North America, that there is this potential for a democratic Palestinian state. Do you see it possible to have that democratic Palestinian state while an occupation continues?
It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Almost impossible to conduct or, like, implement democracy under occupation. A kind of, like, the situation of, let's say, a revolutionary situation is very difficult to run parallel to a democratic process. There will be definitely lots of violations to democracy. However, there are attempts, or serious attempts, among Palestinians to democratically elect a new president. The fact that some candidates are able to go to Jerusalem to campaign and others are arrested is an awkward situation. Some are able to access certain areas and others are not, which is also an awkward situation, which affects definitely the democratic process. And elections are not the only form of democracy. I mean, even if the new president will be, between quote and quote, democratically elected, it's not a full democracy because it depends on how this new president is going to run the Palestinian Authority. If the same structure of ruling is going to continue, then there will be no democracy. Given the current situation and the Israeli pressures on the new Palestinian president to be elected by asking him to pressure the resistance, to stop the resistance, and disarm all the Palestinian factions, no matter how, then this will also affect the democratic process post the elections, which means that there will be a threat, and the democracy in Palestine will be always challenged as long as the occupation continues. So for a candidate or a president to please Israel, he has to be a dictator, because he has to suppress all the voices that call for resisting the occupation, whether militarily or non-militarily. They have to stop calling for suppressing the occupation. For example, yesterday Abbas was talking in Gaza in a rally. He was talking about those who were killed. The seven who were killed yesterday, where five of them are under the age of 18. And when he mentioned them, he said those who were killed by the Zionist enemy. And of course, Israel made a big story out of it. They don't want him even to express his opinion and say that Israel is the Zionist enemy. As long as we're under occupation, Israel is an enemy. And they say that they are Zionists. So what's the problem in him saying that? But they said that this is not a goodwill statement or whatever. So it doesn't show goodwill to Israel. So, I mean, they want to impose the way we speak, the way we elect, and the way we act. Therefore, democracy, you can say, almost does not exist yet. But we are trying to reach it, hopefully.
You spoke about a revolutionary situation. So maybe expand on this specifically. There is the dictatorship of occupation and an uprising against that dictatorship.
Ending the occupation is always given priority on the Palestinian to-do list. Getting rid of the occupation first, and then, let's say, building and fixing the internal structure. Some people disagree. I personally disagree. I believe that these two processes should go parallel. However, people are struggling against the corruption and the dictatorship of the Palestinian Authority, and at the same time trying to face and resist the occupation. And by saying revolutionary situation, I'm talking about both. However, the one that is against the occupation, the role of the Palestinians getting rid of the occupation, is what is making a chance for democracy in resisting the occupation very, very difficult and very limited, especially when this current intifada is more militant. And I don't think military actions are democratic or function in a democratic way. It's like an army and commands and do first, and then if you want to discuss, you can. So there is a problem of democracy here, definitely. And in the inside internal situation, Palestinians are, as I mentioned, delaying this process until after the occupation is over, which is making things even worse, because fixing the current, let's say, the internal structure and building a democratic structure might also democratize the revolution, which might help in producing more effective methods of resisting the occupation, like nonviolent resistance and other things. Israel has been interfering in the elections, that's definite. I mean, they always say they want Abbas to be president, and they threatened with many things like boycotting London peace conference that is slated to take place after the Palestinian elections are finished. They threatened that if Marwan Barghouti, who dropped his candidacy for Abbas, if he won, that Israel will not go to the conference. If he ran for elections, definitely he's going to win if the elections were fair and if the voting process was fair and clear. So by Israel using this threat or this thing as a reason not to go to London conference, then they are objecting the democratic process. So they want to dictate who should become the new Palestinian president. And this is definitely a clear example that Israel does not want a democratic process in Palestine. By any chance or by any means, they want Abbas to win and become president. I don't know how much Abbas is free or able to, let's say, give up more than what Arafat did. People are still affected by the line that Arafat was walking, and maybe the best decision Arafat has taken was not to accept Camp David, a decision that most Palestinians support, even people opposing Arafat. And Abbas cannot really give up more than what Arafat gave up in the year 2000 in Camp David II. Therefore, most of the candidates now refer to the what we call Palestinian inalienated rights that are the independent Palestinian state, right of return to the refugees, and Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. These three things are red lines for any Palestinian president or leader. So the left wing in Palestine and the independents, for example, Mustafa Barghouti is like representing this stream besides the other two, but he has the higher percentage of votes so far. He got some 22% in the polls. They cannot give up such lines, but they do not want Abbas to win with 85% majority. Therefore, the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine decided to support Barghouti. Many independents also decided to support him, and there were rumors that some of the Islamic stream movement like Hamas might support Barghouti. However, 2 days ago they officially said that they confirmed their boycott to the elections and they will not support any candidate or vote for any candidate. But that's a public statement. We don't know what can be inside the movement, what can they tell their own members. So Israel is interfering, and the Palestinians are challenging this interference. But I think, personally, Abbas is going to win the elections, despite all what I have mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's back to the same reason that many Palestinians think that he is like the savior who's going to end a lot of suffering. Well, I don't know if this is true or not.
Now, the West has been promoting Mahmoud Abbas quite heavily. Yeah. You know, he's seen as someone that Israel and the United States can negotiate with. You've explained this. Abbas was also involved in pulling together the Oslo Accords. So when the elections take place, if Abbas is going to win, what do you see taking place? You said it is not possible for him to sign away more Palestinian rights. So what do you see as happening with potential negotiations in the future if Abbas is elected?
I think what's going to happen is they will ease maybe the situation a little bit to show the Palestinians that it's a good option that you have elected Abbas. Second, the disengagement plan will be implemented because it's going to be implemented anyway, because this is the best thing that could ever happen to Israel. So they will implement it and, of course, will put it or view it in the post-Abbas, or let's say Abbas's era, that this is one of the achievements, and that being elected as a president did not stop Israel from withdrawing from Gaza Strip and the four minor outposts in the West Bank. So this will be seen as one of the achievements, which will also give the Palestinians a message that this is a good option. But then he will either be fought in the same way Arafat was fought when they put him in confinement in his own presidential compound, or Palestinians will assassinate him. If he drop more rights of the Palestinians, he will not survive more. Or there will be an internal fight between Hamas and the Palestinian resistance factions and Palestinian Authority. It's not a very bright future, especially the near future. We never think that Israel will have good intentions to do for Palestinians. What Israel cares for is their own situation, their own interest, and they want the Palestinian president to accept their demands. If the coming Palestinian president will do nothing against the wall, try to put it down, if this Palestinian president will do nothing to stop building the settlements and evacuate whatever is left, if the Palestinian president will not work to accomplish more and get the stolen area in the West Bank back to the Palestinians, then Palestinians will not be satisfied. Arafat was something different. Palestinians could not rebel against Arafat, but they can rebel against Abbas. Take into consideration internal conflicts among Palestinian leaders that might also be used by a third hand to create more mess in the Palestinian internal situation. So I don't see lots of positive things happening, whether Abbas is elected or Barghouti or Salhi or Taysir Khalid or whatever. But I think big mistake committed in the Palestinian left-wing camp is not to unite and choose one candidate. If they have done so, I think they would have maybe threatened Abbas to win. I think now he has like a guarantee that he's going to win. Besides, he started with his election campaign outside of Palestine by going to the different Arab countries like Egypt and Jordan and get some pledges for support and help and kind of ended the conflict between the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, and Lebanon and Syria. So he started his campaign there, and now he continues here in the West Bank. And he stresses the same political principles that other candidates stress. I don't see a lot of difference in the electoral program that will make one much better than the other. The difference is who represents what. Abbas represents the old ruling group, and the other one represents a new thing. But they don't have enough chance to win because they are separate. Two major parties and one independent. All left-wing candidates are three. If they were one, maybe they would have a better chance.
One final question, George.
Yeah.
As the elections unfold, we see a new Palestinian president elected. What do you feel it is important for people to continue to focus on? The occupation persists, whether Abbas or Baruti is elected. What are the important points that people abroad who feel sympathy for Palestinians, people who organize to support the Palestinian resistance, what are important things that people should continue to focus on here?
I think whether Abbas or Baruti are elected, the occupation is still there. So the focus should not be shifted by any chance. Even in inside the Palestinian situation, the Palestinians will not also shift their focus. The main focus, as I mentioned earlier, is the occupation, and ending the occupation is the immediate task that all Palestinian factions put on their list. So people abroad, people in the West, in Europe and North America and all over the world who feel sympathetic with the Palestinians and want to support the Palestinians should continue to support them in their struggle against the occupation, against the symbols of the occupation like the military and the wall and the settlements. So if these things are not resisted or fought, they will continue to grow. And no matter who the president is, the same situation is going to be there or maybe worse.
You have been listening to an interview with George N. Rishmawi from the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC, who shared his perspectives on the upcoming Palestinian elections scheduled for January 9th, 2005. The interview provided analysis on grassroots Palestinian democratic movements struggling against Israeli occupation, while also providing specifics on various presidential candidates and political parties participating in the upcoming Palestinian elections. You can find detailed written reports on the upcoming Palestinian elections from the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC, online at www.imemc.org. This interview was recorded and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christoph. ¶¶